Today's responsive reading was taken from Psalm 42. So if you desire to follow along with us, may we invite you to pick up your copy of God's Holy Word. Psalm 42. In order to get a real context or a real gist of what is actually going on here, we need to look at verses 9 and following. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And then if you back up to verse 3, David writes, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they, context, enemies, continually say unto me, where is thy God? Down through history, God's people have endured much suffering. And at times, this suffering has spilled over even into our enemies, those who do not believe in God. Or if they do believe in God, it's a God that they have devised in their own imagination. But in verses 3 and in verses 10, we have a question that comes to the suffering believer, while they, our enemies, the unbelievers, suffer along with us as well. And they ask the question, where is thy God? And I know that I've shared this many times, and it seems most appropriate with this question here, where is thy God? Where some of the Christians who were apprehended during the time of the Nazi occupation of Europe. In these concentration camps, you mainly found Jews who were being persecuted, killed, and then brutally handled by the Nazi concentration leaders. But there would be times and seasons when certain Christians would be praying, reading maybe from a Bible that was confiscated on their person when they went into these concentration camps. And they would sing songs, maybe in their native language. And some of the Jewish people, especially on one story that I know, a Jewish lady who was in the Vienna Orchestra, and the Germans, with no compassion and no forethought at all, took the butt end of a rifle and bashed both of her hands, breaking her fingers, and not healing too well, both of her hands were healed, but they were twisted and bent where she could no longer play any instrument that she once did. And she looked at these two Christian sisters who were singing and reading scripture or quoting it from memory. And this Jewish player held up those gnarled hands and fingers and said, where was your God when the Nazis did this? And so David's enemies ask him the same question. It's quite evident, too, that when you read this, notice verses 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So whatever was going on at this point in David's life, he likened it basically to a tsunami, waves crashing on the shore, simply overwhelming him. Whatever this experience was, he talks about his enemies piercing him as with a sword, not literally, but the pain and the anguish and the hurt and the frustration, the loneliness that came with being their enemy was like God's overwhelming waves that crashed upon him, like the waters crashing upon the beach. And yet, out of all of this, we find little snippets where David rises above the circumstance that he's going through. Look at verses 1 and 2. Despite what he's going through, as the hart panted after the waters brooks, so pant my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God, not a dead God, but a living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they, his enemies, continually, not just one day, but continually, not just 1 hour, but continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God, David? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So notice, despite his adversaries, despite the daily harassment that fell upon him, and remember, he was on the run from King Saul, so his main enemy here is the king, and the king's army, and those people that were loyal to Saul but unloyal to David. Despite all of what these people are doing, he doesn't neglect nor forget his God. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, despite everything that the world plans to throw at us, despite all that they can do to harass, to frustrate, to disquiet your soul, despite all that, the Christian rises above these circumstances, and he will never forget his God. He will come before his God in prayer, in supplication, even in singing psalms and spiritual songs, making a melody in his heart. That's the thing that comes out of this. Where is thy God? And David answers. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindnesses in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So notice, it almost sounds like David's schizophrenic, like there's two Davids within him, the suffering David and the David who continues to worship and sing and praise and come before his God and then panting after this living God. So for us in the 21st century, we're going to have our fair share of enemies. Sometimes they're going to make comments to us daily whenever they see us. When things go bad in their life, and when they see you and I going through a spell, they're going to be tempted to say, where is your God? Where is your God? Where is this living God that you put so much faith and trust, and yet you're going through a hard time or a hard season? Where is thy God? And our only answer is, our God is in heaven, and he will do all that he plans to do. And we will worship, we will praise, we will sing, and we will pray as well. And so, beloved, that's the title, Where is Thy God? Psalm 42.